Welcome to another episode of Hustle Hard, the podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Witt, and I believe that success should be earned and not given. And if you do too, but you're currently underachieving personally or professionally, for one reason or another, then the athletes, entertainers, and fitness experts I interview can motivate you today to do more tomorrow, because they've dedicated their lives day after day and year after year to achieving their goals. So be inspired, take their behaviours and apply their principles to improve your life, physically, mentally, at home or at work. Joining me on the show today, a taekwondo star who's won medals at European and world level, but is aiming to win the big one in Paris this summer. But before she can do that, she needs to seal her place as Team GB's sole competitor in her weight category, at the expense of her illustrious teammates, who have both already won Olympic medals. She's backing herself, though, and so am I. She kicks people in the head for a living. Taekwondo star Rebecca McGowan. How you doing, mate? Good to see you.
Hello, how are you?
I'm all good, thank you. I'm all good. As I said, I've been busy prepping for my interview, trying to find out everything I can about taekwondo. So it's good to finally get you on the line. It tickled me when I first went on your Instagram and saw that in your bio. do you being on Team GB, do you not have to be like a role model or anything? Do you not get like jobs with messaging you, giving you shit like, if you can't put that on your bio, do you ever get any of that?
I've never had that. To be fair, I think I put that in my bio when I think I'd done it when I was 16, when I actually moved on to the team, and it just kind of stuck because everyone brings it up to me. But no, I've not had anyone message me about it yet. They just kind of laugh.
Yeah, good, because that's what I said. It tickled me when I first saw it. and I instantly thought, when I went on your bio, that you don't take yourself too seriously. Would that be right along the right line saying that?
I probably should.
Because it's clearly a laugh, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? What,
yeah,
I'm saying.
I probably should take myself a little bit more seriously sometimes, to be fair.
This is a stupid question. I can't even believe I'm going to ask it here. But have you ever heard of the computer game Tekken?
I've heard of it. I've never played it.
You've heard of it. I mean, the reason I'm a geek, yeah, and it's a fighting game, and it's got this character on it called Hwarang, and his discipline is taekwondo. And it's just, obviously, ever since I played that game years and years ago, I've always just thought taekwondo is amazing because some of the moves that he does on this computer game. But anyway, that's just me.
I'm not quite sure I can do their moves. To fair,
yeah, well, no, that's what you know those cool, you know, like those videos on YouTube and stuff of that, some of the Korean, like the absolute, yeah, Korean masters, where they're smashing about 60 pieces of wood and doing about a million kicks in less than 2 seconds, yeah, and jumping about 50 foot in the air. It's like unbelievable, isn't it? Some of,
yeah,
that stuff.
Yeah, I struggle to jump a foot in there, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm not doing any of that stuff.
how, I mean, are they like elite, like taekwondo? Is it in like what belt would they be? Are they like...
It's more like a different type of discipline, I guess you would call it. So obviously we do the fighting side to it, but you've got the fighting side to taekwondo, and then you've got the more traditional side, which we call Pumte. It's actually really cool what they do. They like Pumte. Yeah, they make them into dances and do it to music, and it's cool what they do. But it's like a different discipline, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you say it's they make them into dances, yeah, and it's tricks, whereas yours is more fighting, isn't it? So yeah, I completely get what you're saying, but I mean, I'd love to be that flexible. I can barely bend down and tie my shoelace at the minute. It's just unbelievable to watch, isn't it.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be that flexible, but definitely not.
So, Paris 2024, the Olympic Games this year. You tell me what you do, because you got the silver medal at the Grand Prix in Manchester last year, which, yeah, secured a spot for... Go on, I'll let you explain.
Yeah, so...
Just before we started, hit the record button, you said that you've not actually qualified for Paris yet.
Yeah, so basically how it works in taekwondo is it's done through the top five people in each weight automatically qualify through the ranking points. So we fight throughout the whole cycle, picking up points. The better you do competitions, the more points you get. It's just it's same as most sports. But yeah, the top five automatically qualify a spot for their country. So I qualified in fourth position. So I automatically qualified the spot for Team GB. But in the rules, if you are in the top 20, you can also be considered for that spot. So each country will have their different type of criteria that they have to kind of use when selecting the player that's going to be going to the Olympics. But yeah, our selection hasn't been done yet. So there's me and there's two other girls that could be chosen over me, I guess.
Those two other girls, I'm assuming, are Bianca Cook and is it Lauren Williams? They're both in your weight category, aren't they? Which is 67 kilograms.
Yeah, over 67 kilos.
So Bianca, Olympic medalist already.
Yep.
Lauren Williams,
also Olympic.
From what I also an Olympic medalist.
Yeah, she silver medalist in the category below ours. So she moved her points up in January, and that's how she's been able to do that.
And from what I saw earlier, she's in the 8th in the world rankings. Is that, would I be right in saying that at the moment? Or is
no.
that, I went on, so it might have been some dodgy website I was looking on, but.
I think right now I'm 4, Bianca's 7 or 8 maybe. Maybe she's, I think Bianca's 7 and then Lauren's like 13 or 14.
So it's looking good for you then at the minute.
Fingers crossed.
Do you train with these two on a daily basis? And who determines who goes, who takes that one spot? Like, because I mean, I'm assuming you're all close friends.
But yeah.
You've all got this Olympic dream. So it must be hard. When are you going to find out? When is it decided?
Yeah, so the coaches in the selection panel decide who goes, basically. And again, they have a criteria in which they base their decision off of for the past couple of years. And yeah, I mean, it can be awkward at times, especially we've got a competition this weekend and we're all in the same weight category, so it can be awkward at times, but it all stays in, it all kind of stays in the gym, in the competition. It's like anything, I guess. Like, you kind of focus everything. If you have a bad training session, you focus it in the gym and then you kind of leave it at the door when you step out. It can be difficult, especially when it's something as big as the Olympics. And I mean, it's what we've all been working our entire lives to do since I was 5 years old. This is what I've been working towards. So it can be hard to, you know, leave it there. But you have to do it, don't you? Or you go crazy.
Yeah, but oh my God, there's so much at stake. How are you feeling about it now? Because obviously we're only a few months out from Paris, and they've been there and literally medaled in the Olympics. So like, does that spur you on, or does it make you shrink in terms of, oh my God, I can't compete with these? They've already medaled at the Olympics. Do you know what I mean? Like, where are you at mentally with it?
I think I've kind of done the same thing as I've done the entire last year, is just showing people what I can do. I definitely don't let it shrink me, because I've just not had that opportunity yet. It's an opportunity that I've not been able to do yet. So I mean, give it a few months and I'll have my Olympic medal. Hopefully it'll be gold to compete with theirs. But yeah, I definitely don't let it shrink me. I just focus on myself, focus on my training, and focus on my goal, which is getting to the Olympics and winning it. So yeah.
That's what I like to hear. You'll have your Olympic medal. That's oozing confidence, mate. Decent. And how is the training going and everything? And how are you feeling physically? You've not got any injuries or anything at the minute? Because I know in the past you've fought with broken ribs and stuff, haven't you? And was it Manchester last year where you got to the final and then couldn't fight because your finger was fucked?
Yeah. So I always managed to do myself in a few weeks before the competition. So the World Championships, I was doing, like, it wasn't even place bar. So we call it place barn, where we kick really, really light, and we weren't even doing that. We were doing a movement drill, and I got kicked. Like, the hardest kick you can get hit with, and it broke my ribs. I broke two ribs, and one of them was like that. So I was like, I had to speak to surgeons to clear me to go, make sure I wasn't going to puncture a lung. I didn't, gladly. But yeah, so I had to... I had to be cleared for all of that, but I was kind of like, oh my goodness, like, this is the competition that I've been told I need to go and do well at for Paris. Like, if I want to go, if I get any chance of going to Paris, and this is the one I need to do well at. And I looked at who my first fight was, and I was like, oh, she's so, like, just like the opposite to what you would have wanted to fight. But I just, yeah, took that one fight by fight, done all right. And then for the Grand Prix final, I'd done a competition to go and grab a few extra points, because if I got them points, then it meant that it doesn't matter what happened at the Grand Prix final, I was qualified. So I went to that competition. I had one fight, and about a minute into the fight, I literally just looked down at my hand, and my finger was pointing that way. And
oh
I was like,
God.
All right, okay. So everyone's trying to pull it back into place, and didn't even feel anything at the time. It didn't even hurt. And they were trying to pull it into place.
You have gloves on, don't you, when you're competing?
Yeah, but it's like literally having gloves. Like, it's not, not much protection in them at all. But yeah, I ended up breaking my finger in like three different places, had a spiral fracture, and I was like, well, I need to fight at this Grand Prix final anyway. So I'd done it. Again, the girl that I was fighting, I was like, I need my hands for this fight. But went fine anyway, and I broke it another few times during the day. So by the time I got to the final, I was like in agony. So they ended up just calling it and being like, no, you've done your job. You're go and deal with your finger now.
What would you do if something similar happened, but you was in the Olympic final?
Oh, there's nothing stopping me competing in an Olympic final. My leg could be hanging off. It's a different gravy, isn't it?
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
So European Championships are happening in May, I believe.
Yeah.
Are you going to be competing there?
Yeah, so I've put in for doing heavyweights at that competition. So we're just waiting to find out after it's next week, the selection's done. So we'll find out what weights everyone's doing at the competition.
Is that one of the big ones, like after the World Championships? Like, does this, will this, if you perform, if you medal or whatever, will this help you seal your spot at the Olympics later this year? Or what is it? Is it, you know, is it big enough to do to help in that regard?
Yeah, definitely. It's just sort of the last one of just kind of proving that we're all in form and that you're in form and the training's going well and you're in good, like, you're kind of, just you're in good form for fighting. So yeah, it's definitely just like the nail in the coffin for selection and things like that.
Are your stablemates, Bianca and Lauren, competing there as well?
So there's three of us that are trying to compete in two spots. So one of us won't be going. So yeah, we'll see
who
that
God.
Is.
You know, you mentioned earlier about the criteria for Paris selection. I'm assuming that someone makes a final decision on as to who goes, because the decision will be made on who they think is most likely to achieve a medal at the or do best at the games.
So it's a panel of, I think it's seven people, so there's no way that there can be a tie for anything, and it's a completely anonymous decision. So yeah, it's, there can't be a tie. It's not down to one person. It's a group decision, really.
That must. Why would anyone want that job? You know, like when there's so much at stake for, like, Olympians. It's like the biggest sporting event in the world, if you like, and it's literally must be heartbreaking for those people that find out they're not. Sorry, I'm not to put any pressure on you or anything, but do you know what I mean, though? Like, this must be, it's a big job for these people, isn't it? Because the emotions that must be involved riding high when you've been working for so many years towards this goal. Do you know what I mean? It's up to somebody else who decides. It's strange.
I think the thing is, like, no matter, well, unless it's me that doesn't go, I've not been to an Olympics yet, but out of the three girls that are going, two have already been to Olympics, had their chance to, you know, prove themselves and do and have the shot of doing it. I've just not had that shot yet. So I'll be a bit gutted if I don't get to go. And that is the until not have had my shot. This is my shot to go and do it. This is my first time going, first time doing it. But it's just, I guess it's just the aim, the nature of the beast. But
Well, it sounds like you're backing yourself anyway, and I'm sure, you know, as an elite athlete, you wouldn't think otherwise, would you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's definitely the right mindset, because I mentioned earlier, didn't I, about do you shrink? And that was a stupid question. You're an elite athlete, so I don't even know why I said that. Obviously, you're going to back yourself, aren't you?
Yeah, you have to. I think it can be hard, though. Like, it's definitely not something that's you just have. I think I took quite a few years to build that belief in myself. So it's not just something that just happens straight away. You have to build into it, and it does come eventually.
Well, it's with the experience in that as well, isn't it? Because you've been doing well and getting these medals against world-class opposition, haven't you? You've been performing, and obviously that's going to breed belief in itself.
Yeah, definitely.
You said that you haven't been to an Olympics, but you have, haven't you? You went as Bianca Cook's understudy. What?
Yeah.
Explain, because I'm not. Was that there to get you experience or something? Because obviously she took the spot. So what was you there for?
Yeah. So I was basically up until a few days before, in case there's an injury or anything, you haven't obviously the same understudy to step in. So I went to Tokyo as the understudy for -67s and +67s. So if either one of them two weights, I had to step in. I was there to step in, but I didn't actually go to the competition. We got sent home a few days, so I went and done the prep camp. I basically done everything. I done everything, and it was like, oh, cherry on top. Nope, home you go. There you go.
I bet. In a way, you're thinking, oh fucking hell, please get injured. Do you know what I mean? I know that sounds terrible, but like you obviously, you know, like you said, you've flown out there. It's your dream as well, and you can almost smell it, can't you? Like competing at the Olympics. I'm assuming you took all the positives from it, because it must have still been an amazing experience that's setting you up and helping you this time around. Now you're a bit older and got more experience, isn't it?
Yeah. So I, you have to train. Like, there's a potential that you will have to step in. So obviously there's that in the back of your mind. But I think I went over there being like, okay, we need, like, our team needs Olympic medals, so I'm going to do whatever I need to do for the team to help the team. I wanted all of them to go over there and win gold medals. Like, that would have been absolutely perfect. So all of the supporting people done exactly that. It's whatever you need to get that Olympic medal, I'm here to do it for you. But it definitely made like a fire in my belly. I came back from there. I was like, I am going to Paris. There's no way that I'm not fighting in Paris, because I'm not going home again.
That's what I'm saying. It's like you've got to take the positive from it, haven't you? Watching Bianca prepare and everything as well. I bet that was a good learning experience in itself.
Yeah, I think I got to do that preparation. So as much as I was helping her and doing stuff, and if she needed me to mimic someone, I'd done that. I was still in that prep and kind of doing that prep as well alongside it, in case I had to. But yeah, it was good, really good experience. It's one of my favorite trips ever.
I bet.
Yeah,
I'd love to go to an Olympics. I think. Do you know Jade Jones or ever trained with her? Obviously, you know, she put women's taekwondo on the map for me, obviously being a double Olympic champion. I actually met her a couple of times when she's done like interviews at Sky News and stuff. Yeah. She's a lot lighter weight category than you, isn't she? Did she someone that you'd see knocking about, and are you able to get career advice off her and everything?
Yeah, so I've trained with Jade since I was 16. So as soon as you move on to the team, you're throwing in with the big dogs. Yeah. So when I was 16, I moved in and I was training with her, training with Bianca, training with everyone really. Since I was 16, I've had the chance of being able to ask her questions and ask her advice and get tips from training and spar with her as well. So we might be different weights, but we all spar together.
I was going to ask that because I'm into my boxing, and you won't put like a heavyweight in with a flyweight. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is it different in taekwondo? I know you've got like your pads on and stuff, but
yeah, I think like if we're doing, we'll go with it, like the sort of heavyweights and 49s only end up together if it's like there's no other partners, and then it ends up being like someone, the heavyweight's moving, the lightweight's kicking. But no, with Jade, she'll fight anyone and she gets stuck in with anyone. So she doesn't really care. It doesn't matter how hard you hit her, she really doesn't care that much. You pull back the power a little bit. Like, I've got 20 kilos on some of them. If you have to pull, just under.
Yeah, that's going to hurt if you hit someone that much lighter than you, innit? They're gonna feel it.
Yeah, to be fair, the boys do it back to me though. So,
I was just about to say, I mean, I'm like 90 kilograms at the minute, but I wouldn't want to get kicked in the face by you.
Yeah.
Jesus. So, Jade, double Olympic champion, she went into Tokyo, the last Olympics, with all this pressure and expectation, and it hampered her, didn't it? And she lost in the first round, and she spoke afterwards about struggling mentally because the weight of expectation on her shoulders, if you like. You know, you're still up and coming and only 23, and like I said, you've not been to an Olympics yet, but there's still going to be an expectation if you're representing Team GB, and that spot is yours, isn't there? How do you deal with the mental pressure?
Yeah, I think last year that's probably the biggest change that I had in myself, was learning how to deal and just go, do you know what, like, F it. this is what I'm going to do. This is what my plan.
You can swear on this
I
podcast.
Know, my mom and dad will share. So I just kind of learned to be like, none of that matters. What do I want to do in this fight? And I don't get me wrong, like I had competitions last year and I come off and I was like, I didn't do that. I come back, reset, why didn't I do it? Okay, next time, that's not going to happen. But yeah, it's just about having it's about having a plan of what I want to do. Like if I do get stuck or you can see that I'm kind of overthinking in my head, my coach has got things to shout at me to kind of reset me. And just stuff for myself, like, realistically for the Olympics, like it's what I've been wanting to do since I was 5 years old. It's not something that I want to make an experience that I come back and I look and I go, I was so nervous for that. I was like, I did not enjoy that. Like, I want to enjoy it. I want to make the most of it. I want to embrace it all. So I think that's like my trick that I'm going to take into the games. It's not something to fear. It's something to enjoy and embrace.
Absolutely love that. And you've got like psychologists at Team GB and stuff though, who help with all this side of it.
Yeah. So some people use them more than others, obviously. I don't use psych as much as other people's. I kind of got figured out what was right for me. And as soon as I figure out, my thing is like, I don't need to fix what's not broken. So if I do come and I do think, oh, struggling a little bit with that, then that's when I can call or I can go and speak to our sites. But they are on the phone all the time, and I know people will call them whenever they need, or will book every single day that they're in the office. They're there for when you need them.
Is it just in a sporting capacity, or is it your personal stuff as well, where they're there for you?
It's everything. It's whatever you need them for, because realistically, your outside life, your home life, can affect your sporting life. With something at home or something's not right in your personal life, it's obviously it's bound to take an effect, because it's hard to keep your personal and your sporting life separate, because we live in it all the time. So they're there for whatever we need them for.
Team GB taekwondo athletes are full time, aren't they?
Yeah,
you are, aren't you? Full time Team GB athlete. It's what you do for a living. It is your life.
Yeah.
Does that not bring added pressure in itself? Like, what if you don't perform? Can you lose your spot on the team? How does that work?
How it works from when you first come in is that you have yearly meetings, and you can be released in that yearly meeting. My first one I went in, I was
this is what I'm on about, because it must take its toll on you. If you're not doing as well as what you can, or if you're struggling with injury or whatever, you've got to meet these standards. You're an elite athlete representing Team GB. You've got to be at a certain standard constantly, haven't you? That's why I mentioned the psychologist and stuff, because it must be a lot, because you're still only 23 then.
I forget that 23 is young. I feel so old because I've been there for so long. But yeah, like, I had my fair share of injuries, and I had like a few years where I just wasn't competing much at all. But they are very understanding, like, you're not going to compete if you've not got an injury, and if you're not physically able to compete, is not something that they're going to kick you out the team over, because you've not had your chance to prove yourself yet. If you're like, it does take a lot, and I've like been here for 8 years, like, they don't just kick you out for not performing once or twice, because that can be a psychological thing. Like, there's so many people that you see that come in and it literally takes like that. Like, I was myself, like, I always done all right, but to take me to that next level, it was literally just something where I was like, no, I need to, like, what am I doing? Like, something just flicks, something like a switch just flicks, and it's like everything just kind of falls into place. So the coaches know, and they can see, and our performance director, they can see talent, and they can see little X factors, as they call them.
It's their job to nurture that talent, isn't it? Exactly. Essentially, so they don't want to, if they put you on the team in the first place, they're not just going to sack you off when things get difficult, is essentially what you're saying. It's their job, isn't it, to bring you along and get you up to that required level of the Olympic Games, for example.
Exactly. And it's like, some people aren't, most people that come in aren't like one cycle turnarounds. Like, that's not a nice way to put it, but like, a lot of young guys that are 16 and 17 aren't expected to go and compete at the next Olympics, because it's such a hard thing to do, to get that, to improve that much and get that many points in that short period of time. They're there for the next Olympics and the Olympics after that. It's like, they've got a lot of time to nurture these young athletes and to pull out the things that are going to make them the best in the world and the top athletes in the world. So yeah, they do, they have a lot of time to do it, and they're helped along the way.
We just touched on your age, 23.
Yeah.
A lot of girls want to go out partying or whatever. Yeah, at that age, are there ever times where you do get FOMO?
I actually found it, think it was probably tougher when I was in school and when I was younger than now. Like, I'm not, it's not really, we all, if after a big competition, like, we all celebrate, and we'll celebrate, and we'll have our times when, like, at Christmas time, we can have our Christmas parties and whatever. So we have our time to let down, but it's never been my thing to go out every weekend. Like, it's never been something that I've been interested in, so I don't really get FOMO in that sense, like, at all, really. The hardest part was when I was younger, and, like, a lot of people, and a lot of my friends, or some of my friends, would be, like, want to do stuff on a Friday after school, or on a Saturday, and I'd be training. And it, I did, like, there was a few times throughout my teenage years where I'd be like, no, well, I can't, I'm training. And it's the one thing I never did, was to sack off training to go to the park with my friends. Like, it's just never something that I've been that interested in doing.
This is why you are where you are. And it's, you know, for anybody who does listen to this, who isn't an elite athlete, could clearly take a leaf out of your book, because it's all about staying dedicated and focusing on what you want to achieve in it. In fact, you're obviously not bothered about going around or anything, because you are living your dream anyway, doing what you're doing, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. I've got other ways. Like, I know that's for a lot of people, like, going out and partying and whatever is a let off, but my let off is going to university. Like, I'm doing things like that, like, quite chilled. We live such a high pressure, like, fast paced life anyway. Like, my relax and my chill and my let off is to go and just meet new people and meet new friends and talk to my friends in university about what they've been doing at their normal job, because it kind of puts everything into perspective for me of, like, oh, I'm literally doing a sport that I've loved since I was 5 years old. Like, whatever stresses or whatever pressure I think I'm feeling, I'm not. It's different. It's completely different. I love the pressure that I'm feeling, because if I didn't, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And what drives you to keep going?
Oh, it always has been Olympic gold. Like,
has that always been the dream? Yeah. When did you start? 6 years old?
Five. So I started when I was 5 or 6. I think I was 5. My dad says I was 6, but I think I was 5. That's an ongoing discussion. But yeah, so my dad, actually, my first couple of lessons, my dad was going to go and put a bet on for me to win the Olympic gold one time. And I remember saying to him, well, would you not just say an Olympic medal? And he went, nah, I think you'll win gold. And I was like, thanks.
This is where your confidence comes from, clearly.
Yeah. But I think, like, when I was younger, I always used to get told to pick, to keep that motivation, because it's hard looking like, oh, my Olympics is going to be in 10 years' time. Like, no one can keep on just going for 10 years. So I always used to give myself little goals to reach. So then,
with the bigger picture in mind.
Yeah, and then I would just blink my fingers and here I am.
Yeah, so it's the journey, isn't it? Yeah. Journey is just as important as the destination. And exactly. And I suppose you've got to enjoy the journey just as much as, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
What's the plan beyond Paris? If you get there, if you don't get there, if you win the gold, if you get knocked out in the first round, are we gonna see you in Los Angeles 2028?
I would love to compete in LA, but I'm just going to take, like, I'm just going to do what I've always done and just take everything as it comes. I'm graduate from university next year. The World Championships, it's next year. So we have to do what we've done again for Paris, qualify again. So it's all the little stepping stones to see if we actually get there.
Small goals, as we just mentioned.
Exactly.
What are you doing at uni?
Physiotherapy.
Physiotherapy, yeah.
Yeah, I spent that much time in our physio room, I thought, may as well make a career out of it.
Your work ethic and the things that you do daily, shall we say, are all transferable skills, aren't they, that anyone could use, really. Just to wrap up, what advice would you give to someone that could improve their own circumstances or chances of being successful based on the principles that you live by and the things you've done every single day to get to where you are?
Yeah, so like I said, my biggest thing was having little goals. Like, I knew, ultimately, I knew that I wanted to be Olympic champion. I knew that one day I will go to the Olympics and I will win the Olympics. But that's not right now. So what do I need to do to get there? what can I do right now? What can, where my feet are, what can I do to help that goal and to help that dream? And that's what I did. And like, I let myself relax and I let myself take a step back, because you can't just be in it all the time and constantly. But I'll, like, yeah, where are my feet? How is that helping me with my goal? And if it's not, what can I do to help me with that goal?
So that's what you're saying, to other people should have this, have a plan in place, work on these smaller goals to achieve the bigger picture, yeah?
Yeah.
I'll hopefully be seeing you in Paris. I wish you the best of luck with it
all.
Thank
you very much.
And you look out, look, make sure you look after your hands and your fingers and whatever.
They're looking a little bit better.
That would be devastating, wouldn't it, if you broke something before, right before the Olympics. Oh, my God.
Touch wood.
Yeah, touch wood, mate. Right, wish you all the best. It's been a pleasure speaking to you. Thanks so much, Rebecca.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening. Please don't forget to like, share, comment and subscribe. Follow Hustle Hard the podcast on Instagram, and if you have any suggestions on how you think I can improve the show or who you think I should be interviewing, then please drop me an email at ash.hustlehard@gmail.com. Nice one.